Hello and welcome to That Tech Pod, where we discuss all things e-discovery, data privacy, cybersecurity, and tech innovation. I'm Kevin Albert.
And I'm Laura Milstein.
And each week we are bringing on heavy hitters in their industry to help us break down topics. Laura, who are you talking to today?
Today we are talking to Frank Chiazzi, the CEO at GRC Knight. Frank's career is incredible. Frank's background is a blend of innovation, ethics, and humanism in technology. Over the last decade, he's become a leader in digital trust, covering cybersecurity, governance, risk management, compliance, privacy, and AI ethics. As the founder of GRC Knight, Frank champions strategies that protect national security on our society's infrastructure. His work spans traditional sectors to startups and venture capital, advocating for cybersecurity as a growth engine. Frank, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Happy to be here.
I'm the most happy that you're here, Frank. I've been waiting for this episode.
Heck yeah.
You look like you don't believe me. I don't think so.
I feel like I just met you a couple minutes ago, so.
Oh my God, I'm not making a good impression. The stress.
But I love it.
I love it too. So Frank, we've been talking a lot about AI lately. We've been talking a lot about cyber, and you're a perfect guest because you have the background of the most cyber AI combo ever. So today's episode, we want to do that. We want to have a cyber meets AI combo episode. So let's just dive right into it. First, let's talk about some AI, and I'm actually going to pass this to Kevin. He's going to tell us all about this new law that came out briefly and see what you can tell us about the law, Frank.
So essentially in the Section 702 of the reauthorization bill that was passed by the House just recently, there's basically a clause that is kind of an expansion of the domestic surveillance that was built into the Patriot Act. Basically, it says that any electronic communication service provider that has direct access to communications is required to assist the NSA in conducting surveillance. And so basically what this means is basically the NSA can go to almost anybody and say, look, you have to turn over your information to us. And it's anybody from like Google and Verizon. But it's interesting because there's not a lot of carve outs. And so anybody who has almost like a router and stuff in there, like, you know, a barber shop, a laundromat, even your gym could potentially be compelled by the NSA to say, here are the people who are on my network and all. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not too big of a surprise coming from the Patriot Act, right? I don't think that ever expired. So it's almost as if it's a growth off of the Patriot Act. But it's a tough division to be in where it's the national defense versus democracy almost, right? I'm not concerned so much about, you know, my grandma's router and her guests that are over her house and that their phones and computers can be tapped into. But I think the real concern here is for cloud service providers, you know, the Googles, the Amazons, who process so much data all over the world. What are their European customers going to think about the U.S. government being able to pry into their networks? What are Asian countries going to think about this? What are African countries, right? I think it's just going to open up a big sort of privacy bubble. People are going to not be too comfortable about the U.S. government publicly, you know, releasing a law to say that they're going to be doing these sorts of surveillance activities for hopefully for national security, right? But that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if these were activities that the NSA was already undertaking, right? If you get the proper court warrant, basically tap into anything you want. So the fact that they're going public with a law to let everybody know that they're going to be doing these types of activities on any type of telecom system that they want to, it can be a little bit scary for especially the conspiracy theorists out there, right? But in the day and age right now where AI is on the rise and there are a lot of nation threat actors all over the world that are trying to come after the United States, our country, our data, you know, we're at a little bit of a cyber war right now. And so I see it also as a really defensive move for the U.S. government to have more awareness as to what's actually going on and on networks on U.S. soil.
But what about the piece where your barbershop or your gym or your dentist office, people who just simply have a router in their office? For me, that's the piece of it. Like, I'm not saying I understand when the Google or Verizon, you know, gets looped into these. To a certain degree, I kind of expect that nowadays. But like, I don't expect like my dentist who has just simply Wi-Fi that I connect to sometimes because I'm sitting in the waiting room all of a sudden to be part of this.
You're wrong, Kevin. There's so much data in healthcare. That would be like one of my number one go-tos. I'm definitely taking your dentist. Think you're safe? Everyone has
Well, I mean, but
dementia.
again, I think when I sign into my dentist, it's more just because I'm sitting there playing on my phone. I'm not expecting them to be harvesting my profile
Wrong.
and
I'm
stuff.
Team Frank on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I like to hope that this act is moving towards the direction of greater network security, right? If you think of the fact that an endpoint at your barber shop or your dentist is essentially a potential bunker for malicious code that could be piggybacked and used to spread to other systems, other networks across the nation. I like to hope that this sort of law is put into place to try to increase greater network security across the nation, networks and network devices across the US. But that being said, it's hard to tell what the NSA's actual motives are around this. I guess I'm being
I'm
a bit
scared.
optimistic.
No, you're like, I'm being optimistic, and I'm like, I'm so scared. What do you think is the best country to be in right now? Like today, with everything going on, what's your country of choice?
I would say if Antarctica was about 40 degrees warmer, I would definitely think that'd be a great place to be. Canada seems kind of nice too, with global warming going on right now.
Don't know about Canada.
I was
Okay.
recently looking at one of those like YouTube nuclear war simulations. I'm sure you've seen those where it says if a nuke went off, what's it going to look like on a map? And it made me think I don't think there is a safe place in World War III nuclear warfare. But because of cybersecurity, I like to think too that the war is going to be handled on fiber, right? It's going to be, cyber network wars, trying to steal data, trying to pr spread misinformation over, shooting the big ones into the sky.
Yeah. When we're talking about laws and we're talking about cyber and we're talking about the combo of it with AI, you are working on an AI product right now. And there are some new AI laws and regulations that are coming into effect right now. Can we talk about those a little bit and how you think those are going to impact companies when it comes to AI or individuals or just the use of AI and data in general?
Yeah, so an interesting sort of event that happened not too long ago, I think maybe a week or so ago. OpenAI has been under question about training on millions of hours of YouTube data to train their model. And you think that there's songs on YouTube, there are videos. I think my little sister, she did Christmas gift opening sort of videos and built a little bit of a following. So if you think about like anything and everything when it comes to video media and content on YouTube, it's an amazing source of data for training because there's also lots of conversations, and a lot of these LLMs, AI LLMs, are conversation-based. So really easy way to teach an AI model how to learn how to speak, what humans tend to care about, and then also just information-wise, entertainment-wise, what makes a good song if I wanted to recreate a song that I would believe would be a Billboard Top 100. So this new AI law that's coming out, I forget the senator's name in LA. It basically says that if you are an AI company and you're training on data, you essentially have to register any trained data that you don't own the copyright for in a register, which will ideally lead to, licensing. Think about Sony probably owns a lot of songs on YouTube and OpenAI training on those songs. Sony wants OpenAI to pay them a bunch of money. From what I've gathered in the industry of AI developers and engineers and product leaders, people don't think that the law is going to actually have feet, have legs, just because A, the tech lobbyists are very powerful, and B, like, what is ownership of creative material, right? When you think about Ed Sheeran, I think 10 years ago, getting sued for having a song that sounds just like a Marvin Gaye song. And in court, he basically played those same four chords over 15 or so really famous songs, and they all sounded great. And how can one say that because those four chords can be made into multiple songs? Marvin Gaye owns the sound of one of those songs for those four chords. So it's a very complicated, I think, the copyright creative sort of world. From a cybersecurity standpoint, I do believe that it does undermine data protection a bit when you think about IP protection, being able to essentially get a bunch of really, really great IP and put it into a meat grinder of sorts and create the most amazing version that's unique, but is essentially a piece of all of those, collected IP. I think it's a bit of an undermining activity for IP, but I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff.
I would agree with you. When you're saying crazy stuff, I'm like understatement.
Yeah.
But then the category of anything that we're talking about these days in tech, I feel like that. I think the one question that I have for you is, and to totally change it. So just refocus this entire episode. Everyone who's listening, skirt, new thing now. I think to one of Kevin's points earlier, we think of cyber in one element. We think of AI in one element. But I want to know what you think about it when it comes to gadgets. So for example, there's like these rings now that you can wear, or the Fitbits or the Apple Watch, which are tracking your stuff. And each one is different. Like I have one and it's a ring, which looks terrible. If you're a woman and you have small hands, or if you're a man with small hands, don't get these rings. They're huge. You'll look like a fool. I do when I wear it. It's terrible. But
it's like a Super Bowl ring. It looks awesome.
If you have right hands, for me, I'm like, I look like a freak. I look like a freak. I'm not gonna sell it at all. But I got one of these and it's a yoga one. It's designed to where it has like a smart mat and it helps you with yoga. I don't have the mat and I don't do the yoga with it, but I wanted to get it because it tracks vitals. And for me, I'm like, well, if I'm sick, I want to know like how sick am I? And it sounds insane, but that's why I wanted to get it, to literally have something easy at home when you're sick and be like, where's my heart rate at? And so it's tracking little things like your vitals. It does track your sleep. I'm like, it's uncomfortable to sleep with. And it also, I don't think tracks your sleep properly. I think it gives some of the wrong results, because if you switch fingers in the night, or if you wake up and do it, it's going to kind of trigger it. But to an individual, I'm wearing something like this and I'm like, how great. I can just put it on and be like, my heart rate looks good. But if I'm not wearing it every day, I think the company's not getting that much data. It's not consistent data. But even for a company, why would they want things like this? And why would you want to target a company that's tracking things like your fitness and your sleep? What are the benefits of that? And do you think if you're a hacker, that's a company you're going after? Or do you think the bigger problem is when that company sells your data, because they're not necessarily doing it for the product, they're doing it for the data? Where do you stand on something like that, Frank?
Yeah. I mean, going back to the sleep thing you're talking about, maybe you're not getting good sleep and you're afraid to admit it. And that's why I get into bad readings.
I get terrible sleep. I'm like, I swear I slept for 8 hours. I'm like, and then somebody has to be like, no, Laura, you just blacked out. There's a difference. Just kidding.
Yeah. But cybersecurity, AI, you know, I think when you think of like also privacy, it all boils down to digital trust. I think that's the new phrase that basically combines all of these things. Gadgets, though, a very interesting realm. And for the last, I'd say 10, 20 years, it's always been about data. It's always been data mining sort of race for big social media companies, big digital media companies. But now we're ending into a world where data is still the currency, but insights are now the real currency. That I guess that's sort of where AI comes in, where you can essentially take a bunch of data and make really accurate insights to say, based on how you sleep, we know that you are going to want to buy green juice powder next week. We're 100% sure that the way you sleep and also the music you listen to, like crazy insights like that. Hackers just care about money, right? So the fact that these companies have this data probably means that they are very profitable, right? You know, Instagram, Facebook, they're getting so good at providing ads to their users that they sell a lot of ad dollars. And so they're probably going to try to get a hold of this data for ransom realistically. But, you know, there definitely is the harm of data that might be a bit sensitive to the users, right? In terms of privacy, let's say Facebook knows that I'm afraid of death or something, or Facebook, I found out I have cancer because I've been searching specific things that would hint to that, but I haven't told my whole family yet. I don't have cancer, by the way. This is just a hypothetical situation, knock on wood.
We're happy to hear that.
Yes. But, you know, the idea of that being exposed in some sort of breach, you know, that's not some sort of data that I would want out there. And that's not data that I would want Facebook or Instagram to collect about me anyways. But these apps make insights about you, put you in profiles so that their customers, these advertisers can essentially sell you stuff. Interesting thing about gadgets, though, I just bought this thing called Humane.ai. It's a little sort of like badge you wear on your chest that has an optical camera that can read stuff and basically scan it into an AI LLM on the internet and then talk to you about it. So if you say, this bottle of water who is the CEO of the company of this bottle of water. It can scan the bottle of water and tell you all the information about it because it's just real time taking a picture, uploading it, sending you
that
back the information.
Sounds so cool. I'm literally looking it up right now. Just want to jump in. Everyone who's listening, let's get one together.
Yeah. Now, the risks around this are, imagine I'm a stalker of some sort and I use it to scan someone's license plate to figure out where they live, larger scale. Imagine if I can put one of these cameras on a drone and know who lives in what house and what their sort of routines and patterns are from leaving and coming home. I think there are some definitely societal impacts
a
there.
Sophisticated that... stalker, though.
And this is just hypothetical.
I hate this idea, actually, you should definitely not get one of these. Large.
I'm getting it. I'm literally on the site right now. And I was like, this sounds incredible. So I'm definitely getting one. Be
yeah.
Scared.
What if you could use it to, you know, like, let's say you're on a date or something and you can scan the person you're across from and they'll tell you if they're a piece of shit or not too. Right. I think there's a lot of great.
Oh my God. I could tell people that without this.
Like now you have a camera for that.
Yeah.
Like, I could do it without it.
Back in AI. But yeah, human AI, not AI. There's definitely going to be a lot of really interesting and potentially scary gadgets coming out in that space. But it all boils down to digital trust at the end of the day. Can we trust these products digitally, now also physically, because they are entering this space?
So, I mean, that actually leads right into my next question. So AT&T just had a big breach and Roku, they had 500,000 people. Credentials and everything online that were breached, all through what they're calling credential stuffing, which I don't actually know what that is. And so if you could tell us what credential stuffing is and why is this still an issue and how do we combat this?
Yeah, yeah. To be honest with you, I haven't really looked too deep into the AT&T or Roku breaches. Credential stuffing, I think there is definitely been a movement going on in the last 10 years of criminals harvesting credentials because they essentially know that people use one password or a very slight similar variation of that one password for everything, right? Whether it's the year that they first created that account or it's their address or it could even be a random set of numbers, but the idea is those random set of numbers probably don't change that often every couple of years, if so at all. And if you harvest enough credentials from, you know, the world, you might be able to guess what their password is going to be based off of pattern recognition. If you know a couple of their other passwords, it definitely limits the amount of options that it could be. So that's definitely something that's been going on for a while with brute force sort of tools plus AI. I think we're going to probably see smarter password and account cracking tools coming out into the wild. Funny thing about the AT&T breach is my mom is a AT&T customer. I'm a Verizon.
But, Verizon, all the way. Sorry to your mom, but she's wrong.
She is. She didn't ask me about
she should have.
The breach. And she knows what I do for a living. And she's a very paranoid and cautious person in her day-to-day life, which makes me think that people don't care about the breach. You know, all of AT&T's customers probably want a lower bill, maybe. But I don't think that this is probably going to be another breach that will just go into history as, you know, just another one. Same with Roku. I wonder when the next breach is going to be enough, right?
Do you think become numb to this? Is that what it is? Like people don't care. Like, do you think do people not change their passwords? Like, what is the situation?
People don't care. I think people are. It's exhausting managing a lot of accounts. Things like LastPass make it a little bit easier, but then if you lose that password, then you know you might be in a little bit of trouble. But yeah, I think people are just exhausted. But now the FTC. The SEC is requiring publicly traded companies to report breaches as soon as they find out about them, or else they'll get a really large fine. So I think that sort of pressure is hopefully going to make large companies like AT&T take breaches seriously. But to me, I personally think that until a company that's like an Amazon-sized company suffers a breach and goes out of business, people probably won't care. Unless it's TikTok.
I care. I will care. No, it's TikTok. Yeah, get rid of it.
TikTok breach would be, I mean, I remember when TikTok was down for, I think, like a day. The internet was going wild.
Gen Z just gave up. We just lost an entire decade of individuals when that happened. We just lost Gen Z. They were gone
forever.
They left us. Oh, my goodness.
Do you think China should have to divest this?
I think, personally, I think it should be banned. That's just.
I'm with you, Frank. Get rid of it.
It's just.
Get rid of it.
Is it because it's stupid or because like it's a security problem?
It's scary.
It's the most genius form of warfare I've ever even come across in my existence. In terms of you've thought so far ahead that you want to ruin. You want to create addictions in the minds of the future of your country. And, you know, and if you know, as an adult, you say, oh, they're doing this, then people call you boomer or say that you're a conspiracy theorist. It's a defenseless sort of attack. And I think it's genius. And that because of that, I think it just banned, right? Just my two cents. I'm the security guy that people don't listen to.
Speaking of security, can you tell us more about what you're doing? So we've been talking all kinds of stuff, but we haven't really gotten into you, and you're doing some really cool stuff when it comes to AI and security. Can you tell us about what's going on with you, Frank?
Yeah. So, you know, day to day, I am a cybersecurity consultant. I work primarily with contractors that work with the federal government. When I do my work with companies that aren't federal government, I tend to use a little app called OpenAI ChatGPT a lot. More than just writing emails and writing, you know, papers, but I use it for doing pretty complex framework mapping exercises. And ChatGPT is very limited in this capability, so it's almost as much work for me to use it to do this than it is for me to do it manually, but it's just a little less that I do it anyways. So this inspired me to create my own AI LLM platform that essentially is like ChatGPT, except it's secure. I'm not training on my client's data, and it has a little more functionality to allow for complex Excel-based, CSV-based mapping exercises. Francine.ai is the name. And the long-term roadmap is I want this to be a product that can be used by the federal government. OpenAI, ChatGPT, they aren't federally certified. They're not a cloud service provider that the government is authorized to use. We talk about federal agencies. Little certification process called FedRAMP for anybody out there that might even know what that is. But
oh, if you're listening to us and you don't know what this is, we should talk.
the idea is I would love to be the first FedRAMP authorized AI platform in the marketplace. My background's in FedRAMP. I breathe 800-53, so it would make sense for me. Just because not just to sell agencies products, but really so I can start, and when I say I, so we as an industry can start training government workers, government officials, people that work for government agencies on using AI platforms and AI solutions. So we're not too far behind compared to other countries.
I think there's definitely a tolerance for it. I think people are interested in the government. Again, I work in the government space. You're right. We need something to be authorized. Everybody's a little gun shy to immediately jump into ChatGPT or, you know, some of these other ones that are just like out there. And again, I think it's because of the fact that it's training on public data, or because there's a worry about just like what you load in is just going to get intermingled amongst everybody else's junk. And so people are pretty gun shy. But I think the idea of this is a great idea.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love it, Frank. I really love it. And I loved having you on today. Really appreciate your time. So thank you so much for being a part of the pod.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kevin, we just spoke with Frank, the CEO from GRC Knight. We're learning a lot about Francine, AI, and cybersecurity. What were your tech takeaways?
I think you mentioned right there at the end, the Francine.ai, I think is pretty exciting. There isn't really an option in the federal space for this today. And so having an option that's FedRAMP authorized will be huge. I thought his take on a couple of things we talked about, the copyright law with the AI is interesting. I thought his take on the breaches also was really good. So I thought this was an interesting episode, and I liked that we covered a wide swath of topics. What about you? What are your tech takeaways?
I just think Frank is great. I think he's going to do a lot. Anybody who really wants to be in the government is always a red flag to me. So I will flag you on that, Frank. But I think it's a different kind of aspect when we're looking at the government and we're talking about AI and making it better. And I think there's no argument there that there is a lot of need to make AI better, especially in the government or just the government better in general, and probably AI in a lot of ways. So I'm excited to see what Frank is going to be doing in the future and what that looks like. I love the topics that we covered today. Cybersecurity is always deep and true to my heart, so any of those really hits home. If you want to hear more about Frank, GRC Knight, AI, cybersecurity, or anything in general, we'd love to hear from you. Please reach out to us at contact@thattechpod.com. If you haven't already, please head on over to www.thattechpod.com, enter your email to subscribe, and then don't forget to go on over to linkedin.com/thattechpod. Check us out on social media, anywhere else that we may be. Please follow us and know that we appreciate you.
And don't forget to go to wherever you get your pods, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever, and leave us a review, leave us a rating, whether you write it yourself or use ChatGPT or even now Francine.ai. All that is super appreciated and really helpful to us. It gets us out there, and we really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.